Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guest to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hello, and welcome back to Mission Accepted. Yeah, that's right. That's right. What are you doing, Deb? There is a lot of people on the screen. If you are listening, let me tell you, you are with a team of people that have taken the mission. And you know we have started these really new, cool group podcasts in amongst our three-part mini-series and everything else. And I have to say, you know that I compliment you because you do what every podcast host would want you to do, and that is share the word about the guests that they have. And you are posting and reposting and commenting and telling us what you want, and we're delivering it to you because you know the whole world is getting interested again in something that is so valuable that when you move, you don't put it in recycling, you don't drop it off at your neighbor's, you pack and take your books with you. You pack and you even buy furniture to hold them. You buy bookcases and you have them stacked and they're under your chair and they're on your office. And you're so excited when someone signs the front cover and mails you one. And we're talking about books today, people, and we're talking about authors. And we have an incredible team of authors today. First of all, they are all best-selling authors. They're all rocking their world. And let me introduce you to who we're going to hang out with for this little bit here. So we have Nadine Thompson, and I'm going to say all the way, because I'm in Vancouver, all the way from China, joining us today. And she did the most incredible poem on the 262 Summit. And if you've been watching or listening to this podcast at all, I don't need to tell you what that is because you've been hearing us talk about it for 2 or 3 years now, and it's still going strong. She is a best-selling author and NLP coach, and we are so excited to hear from her today. Then we have Dr. Melissa Balazan. It is the doctors are in the house today. Let me tell you that. She is not only a best-selling author, she is an international speaker. You've seen her on our stages many times, and she is a concierge pharmacist, and I love that about her. She's like little pharmacist in your little pocket that you can contact anytime. And then we have Miss Amy Thurman, who we are going to be spending time together in person. Don't you love that when you meet people online, and then you get to meet them, and you're like, I didn't know you were that tall. I didn't know you were that short. Oh my goodness, look at you. And she is as well a multiple best-selling author, as many of these ladies are, and is an inspirational speaker. And then again, Dr. Lisa Tan, and I know you know who she is because she too has been a big part of the 262. And she is a red carpet coach, and that's super interesting. I'm wondering about that. And she as well is a best-selling author. And today we are going to talk about that leap that people take. Because look at you might be in the world where you're watching quite a few people start to become authors. And that's the beautiful thing about this whole world opening up. You know, we talk a lot about media here, but it still comes down to this. There's over 87% of people that would like to write a book, and it's only between 3 and 1% of people that actually do. So even though you may see the shelves full. I mean, look at, we just launched our book. I know that you all attended. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You know, and it was incredible to us because we were watching it. And when I was talking to our publicist and we were going through it, I'm like, how many books launched today in Canada? They're like 550,000. You know, you're like, this is your number out of 550,000. And like, whoop, 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 we did pretty good. I'm pretty excited to say. I would say we hit Harry Potter status. But when you hear someone that's an author, take note that it is really only 1-3% of the people that want to do that. Take the time, settle themselves in, concentrate, focus, pray, almost get sick, have to rewrite. The process of putting words on paper is a very vulnerable, courageous, brave thing to do. Because it's in print, people. It's like taking your coloring and putting it on the outside of the door instead of the fridge. Do you know what I'm saying? So I'm super excited. You got a team of courageous women today. And so what we're going to do is we're going to start asking some questions because we know that you are also on a mission. That's why you hang out with us. You either are on a mission or you're laughing at us. We're not sure which one, but and we're going to kind of go through the process of being an author. So let's kind of start. Nadine, let's start with you. Please share with us, what is the title of your book, and what was your favorite book growing up?
Okay. The title of my book is Encounters. My favorite book growing up was The Journey to the Center of the Earth. It's not poetry, but that was my favorite book growing up.
Beautiful. And your book, Encounters, is about poetry, correct?
It's about poetry, yes.
Oh my gosh, so amazing. Okay, I'm going to be asking these questions because I think it's fantastic. I love to know when that early inspiration started. And Lisa, can you share with us the name of your book and what was your favorite book growing up?
So for me, I still have the book. Oh, the places you'll go. I'm going to read a quick excerpt. You will come to a place where the streets are not marked. Some windows are lighted, but mostly they're dark. A place you could sprain both your elbow and chin. Do you dare to stay out? Or do you dare to go in? When as a kid, yeah, I was that kid that kept spraying my elbows, and I could totally relate.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. What's the name of your book, my friend?
Oh, Metamorphosis.
Metamorphosis. Okay. And Miss Amy Thurman, same question.
Yeah, absolutely. My book is called Finding My Hero Within. It's my 10-year journey of living the past 10 years with a broken neck and going from being completely incapacitated to now living an empowered life. And my favorite book growing up were the Little House on the Prairie books. I wanted to live out on a farm like that. And so I really, really loved reading those books and kind of living vicariously through Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing. Okay, and Melissa, what is the name of your book and what was your favorite book growing up?
So The Journey Begins. And I have a couple because I looked at back when I was younger. So I liked The Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Mm. And then as I got a little bit older, it was The Boxcar Kids. And so both of those have stories and journeys and adventures. And I think that that's really suits me.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It's always so interesting. And it takes you back when you talk about books that inspire you. Things like for me, if it was anything Holly Hobby, a book, a notepad, anything Holly Hobby was super inspiring to me. And I remember the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew, you know, those series. My mother, it's going to make me sound ancient, but we had encyclopedias. I think my mom bought them from someone at the front door. And the encyclopedias used to be written, at least the children's encyclopedias, almost story-like with pictures. So who knew? Who knew? Awesome. And, you know, when you write a book, we talk about, you know, it's one of those things that is kind of an internal journey by nature. So I'm going to ask you kind of what inspired you? Was it a what? Was it a who? Like, what was the final push that made that paper hit the pen or the finger hit the, you know, the keyboard? Nadine, for you, did someone inspire you? What inspired you to do this?
I was inspired to write a book when I was about 15 years old. So my teacher gave me a small book of poems written by the poet Mary O'Neill, and I really loved that book. But I started writing poetry, but I didn't start publishing at that time. I published my book in 2020. So maybe it was COVID that reminded me of this dream, and I wanted to go back and fulfill this dream.
Oh my goodness. So you were 15, and if you don't mind me asking you, how wise were you when you decided to put your book to market? How many years in between there?
More than 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dreams stay alive. You know what I mean? Yeah. If the dreams don't necessarily actualize the time that they show up, things show up. And then, you know, you get that choice of when they actualize. That's awesome. And Lisa, how about for you?
So in Metamorphosis, I'm sharing about how I had forgotten that I'm a butterfly. And I was just a terrified caterpillar stuck in a cocoon that I made up. And the person that inspired me was Dr. Jane Goodall. We had so many things in common. She loved animals as a child. So did I. She would study chickens by and seeing how they lay eggs by staying in the chicken coop for hours and hours. And I would read books about dolphins for hours and hours. So I was just so inspired by how she ventured off to Tanzania with not more than a notebook. And for me, one year, I just took off with my kids to Asia. We were terrified. We just had our backpacks. So I drew so many parallels. So she was my inspiration for Metamorphosis.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Thank you for sharing. And Amy, what about yourself?
I used to be a language arts teacher where I would teach kids to write essays and how to use grammar correctly. And I thought it would be so cool for me to write my own book. I had no idea what it would be about, didn't know anything. That was before my neck accident. And Blair Kaplan Venables asked me to write a chapter in her book, Resilience AF, Stories of Resilience. And it was really difficult for me to keep my story to one chapter, to just that character limit. And so I thought, I have so much more to say. There's so much more to my story. I'm just going to write my own book. I'm just going to put it together and write my own book and put it out there. And so Blair actually really inspired me to write my own book.
Oh my gosh. Isn't that, I love that. I love that because when there's anthologies and collectives and what people, and you know, we have one and people are putting them together. And I do believe, I always say to people, at the very least, start there. Start with an anthology. Start that process of going within and writing things down. And I love it because, sister, I'm with you. It's so hard. You're like, what do you mean I'm at 700 characters? I just introduced myself. But it's a really good lesson, too, in just getting the point across. But I think once you start, we all have such a beautiful story to tell. And what about you, Melissa? Absolutely. What was your inspiration, or who was your inspiration? Put these words on paper.
My mom. So she's always believed in me. And through the process of her drawing me a staircase when I was in high school and telling me to take one step at a time. And so just putting my foot forward and taking one step at a time and pencil to paper one word at a time, and knowing that through all things, Christ strengthens me. So having him strengthen me and my mom being my biggest cheerleader, that just helped me.
Oh my goodness. I love that. I can visualize the drawing of the staircase. I think that's great. I mean, can I take that one and share it? I'm going to pass that on to my son. Absolutely.
Yes.
All right. So, you know, we talk about how we were inspired and who inspired us. And then inevitably, there may be something trepidatious. We may notice that we're not putting our pen to paper the way that we thought we would. Was there any feelings that came up? Was there anything that you had to talk yourself through or get someone to help you talk yourself through? Because I think that there's a lot of authors out there that just haven't put their story yet. And you'll hear a lot of it like, oh, I just don't have time, or I haven't gotten to it yet, or I said I was going to do it. And we know it can be a number of things. And so I'll just ask you, I mean, you may or may not, you may have been so over ready 20 years, Nadine, you know what I mean? You may have been over ready and you're ready to go and that was it. But is there anything that you can share with our audience on that, how it really got pen to paper? Was there anything that you had to overcome or have a conversation with or arrange your day for? Like, how did you get it done?
Oh, for me, my biggest obstacle was overcoming myself, because I didn't think I wanted to put myself out there. So when I thought about publishing my book, my first thing was I was going to use an alias. I didn't want to use my real name because I was like, okay. In China, I work as a teacher. Most people know me as a teacher. Nobody knows me as a writer. So who's going to read my book? Who's going to accept it? So I even, when I found the publisher, I even said to her, can I use an alias? And she was like, why do you want to use an alias? Yes, you can, but why not just put yourself out there as your real name? So that was my biggest obstacle.
Thank you so much for bringing that up. Because I know I went to in New York, there's this beautiful location. It's a retreat center. And Cheryl Strayed was teaching a writing workshop for 3 days. And so people, if you know Cheryl Strayed, she wrote the book Wild that turned Reese Witherspoon, turned it into a movie, and really incredible woman. And that was a question that really came up for people around if they wanted to keep themselves hidden, and what was that about? And I think a lot of people, they're like, oh, I'll just use someone else's name, you know, and then they go through that process. They debate that again at the end. And it was a big, it was a deep conversation that happened there. What about for you, Lisa? anything that you had to, you know.
You mentioned the word vulnerability at the very opening, and I thought, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. I'm just sharing my story. No, it was not a piece of cake by any means. Every time I gave my revision to the editor, I got back, go deeper, Lisa. I'm like, I went deep. Go deeper, Lisa. And I like to do it on paper first before typing it. Mm-hmm. And you would see dried up tear puddle marks on all my paper because, like, not only is your heart on your sleeve, like your blood is spilling onto the paper is how I felt. It was really taking a cutting open a piece of me and just going, blah.
Wow. So
vulnerability was challenging.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, when you're writing something that's a part of you, like your story for you, it's your story. It's not a story. It's your story. You know, it's your story. And therefore, where you go, you follow. So if you're putting a piece of yourself in an artwork or a piece of clothing or a piece of jewelry or whatever, where you go, you follow. And I think it is very meta, you know, never mind the name of your book, but it does put you through your own process, very similar to that. Words on paper, like I said, you know, it's not like you can go, oh, can we just take that book back off the shelf?
Exactly. I kept thinking, oh.
Yeah, absolutely. And what about for you, Amy? I know that your book is about you as well and your life and the process you went through. What was it like for you?
I really had to get over the fear of reliving it. My story is very traumatic. It includes a lot of trauma, a lot of some suicidal ideation. And to be able to get to that depth that Lisa was talking about, I really had to relive it. I had to get back in there with it and allow those feelings that I had shoved down all these years to resurface and allow myself to feel them and to be able to put them on the paper so that I could help other people. And so it was just that I started and stopped so many times that I lost count. It's literally the hardest thing I've ever done, but it's the greatest therapy. I say everybody needs to write a book. It's the greatest therapy out there. And it's the thing I'm the most proud of in my entire life. So, so worth it. Do it. Don't be afraid of it. Do it. It's definitely worth it.
That's incredible. One of our sisters in the 262, which most people know is Kimberly Butler. And she's writing her biography right now. And what a process. She's like, I need a therapist. Do you know what I mean? Because there's places that she wants to make sure that she's got support in. And not everybody's out there writing a book of depth. But I think there is something about sharing part of yourself. And I love that you shared that because I think having a really supportive circle, like if you're going to do a book of depth, having a supportive circle, getting through, it could be like a little bit of fear all the way through to, I am reliving some things and I need someone who already knows the story to kind of help me through. So I think in preparation, I think what you're sharing today is so valuable because in preparation for someone to go forward, a lot of times people are afraid to write their book or their story or their this or their name because they know that there'll be emotions, but when they know other people have done it, it's great, but also be prepared for it. Be prepared for it, right?
Yeah.
Be prepared for it. And what about for yourself, Melissa?
So I'd say it's a combination of a lot of things that have been said. There was excitement to get it done, but there was also the vulnerability of sharing, you know, the journey and me as a doctor, that I'm human, which we all know I am, but putting it on paper and putting it out there that I can help so many other people and saying, okay, this can happen to me as a professional, just like it happens to you.
Right. And I think that that can be very difficult for people that have a perceived image attached to either themselves or their occupation or their the way the world sees them. Right. The way the world sees them. So that's an interesting piece that you just brought up. So let's get, you know, interesting here. Let's have some fun. One of the cool things about writing a book is like doing the cover. It's like coming up with, you know, what it's going to look like and its format. That's the easy stuff. You know, it may seem to, but it's fun to be able to put your own book together. So let's have a conversation about the titles, right? So you all shared the name of your books, but Nadine, what made you please again, remind us what the book is called and what made you choose that title?
Okay, so this is my book. You can see it. The title is Encounters. I chose that title because of my own journeys. So I'm originally from Jamaica. Then the first place I lived was in Japan, and I was working there as an ESL teacher. And one thing that always happened was that people would leave. So you'd stay for 6 months, a year, and people are always leaving. And I started to reflect on what I was encountering. So I wanted to document my encounters as I was doing several journeys, personal and otherwise.
Oh, wow. So interesting, right? You look at a title of a book and, you know, you perceive it in one way in relationship to you. But it's interesting to hear how in relationship to the person. So, you know, I know you do poetry. When I'm looking at a book like of encounters, right? I was like, ooh, this is kind of interesting. It's a book about, but it's a book about your experience with encounters. Two totally different things. That's incredible. Now, Lisa, you've been sharing with yours about, you know, it being a metaphor, but, you know, yeah, please, yeah, share again so the audience can hear and see what is it that you chose? Like, why was it that word to describe your book?
I had a breakthrough hypnotherapy session, and my hypnotherapist at the end of this session handed me purple fabric. I opened it, I held it up, and these were butterfly wings. And she told me that another woman gave it to her when she was ready to fly. And she said, Lisa, you're ready. Go fly. So I actually earned my wings.
That's awesome. Oh my goodness, that's awesome. I got to ask you, is the color of your book, like because you talk about wings and purple, what does the cover of your book look like?
We're still designing it, but it will definitely be purple.
Yes.
It will definitely have butterfly symbol on it.
Oh my goodness, that's amazing. Well, Amy, I know that you showed your book. Maybe share with us as well the name and why you chose to go with that name.
Absolutely. It's called Finding My Hero Within. And part of my story includes, like I said earlier, suicidal ideation. When I made that decision to swallow that handful of pills, I had this moment of clarity that said, what if you don't have to die? What if you can use your story instead to help other people? And so that's what I chose to do, that I was going to fight to live with the intention of using my story to help other people. And so that's what I did. And throughout that whole journey, 10 years, I was able to find my hero within. I stopped looking outside myself for someone to come rescue me, for that knight in shining armor to come save me from this existence. And I found the person I had always been looking for in my reflection in the mirror. And so that's what it's about. Learning to find my hero within and how others can do the same.
That's amazing. And I know that when I first met you and you were like talking about polish the mirror, and I was like, well, that's kind of nice. And then you started to talk about how that self-reflection and how important that was for you to pull strength from self. That's amazing. All right. Yes. And Melissa, what about you? What made you, you know, what took you to, please again, remind the audience what the name of your book is and like how you came to that.
The journey begins. So throughout life, we have many different journeys, but compiling the story and things that have gone through, anytime we go on a trip, my husband and I, you know, most of us, it's like, okay, we want to get from point A to point B as fast as we can. And I was like that for so long, but my husband's always like, he's like, no, it's about spending time with you and it's about the journey. So that's kind of why I chose that. It's about taking time and living in the moment, but also taking care of your health, because of course, you know, that's where I lean towards, but it's not about a sprint. It's about the journey.
Wow. I'm inspired and I know you all, I mean, you inspire me anyways, but just knowing the process of what it takes to put a book again. Now, we may all assume this next answer to this question that I'm going to ask you, but I'm going to ask us to go kind of a little bit deeper on that. So I'm going to ask you if you would do this again, if you would put yourself through that again. And I know that many of you are and have written one book and you're going to write another, and or you've got another one on your mind, or this may have been a complete process for you. You may feel completely, but would you do it again? And if you would do it again, what kind of book would you write? So, you know, I think it's no secret to the world that we just did this incredible compilation of 262, which, audience, please go and look up every single one of these ladies' names because they're in that book. And then at the end, I'm going to ask you ladies to tell people where to go find your book, please. And so there's a book that I just, on the way back from Ireland, did all the chapters for on the plane. And it's a completely different book. It falls in the category of a different type of business in a certain sector. Completely different. So do you have a book that's going on in your head? Would you do it again? Do you feel complete? Let's start with you, Nadine.
Definitely. I will do it again. And I am working on other books. Since doing encounters, I have started to delve more into writing. So I've done a 30-day of poems that I do have ready to publish. And I've also started writing my own memoirs. And I also help other people to start writing their own books. So that's what I've been working on.
Wow. Memoirs. That's a big one. That is a big one. I know people that have taken years to compile and put that together. And it seems to be, so I'm told, because I haven't done mine, it seems to be one of those things that you think that you can add to as soon as you finish the editing, you get back and you're like, oh, I forgot about this. I could add this, but that's a brave step. And what about you, Lisa?
Oh boy. In between revisions, I would have said, heck no, because like Amy's experience, it was very somatic for me. Things were still very deep within my DNA, even it feels. But now, I think I would. And I guess this book helped me. It even helped me during college. During my college nights studying for the finals, I would actually whip out this book. So if I were to do it again, I would actually do a children's book.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard many people talk about doing a children's book because it's just, you know, it's pure beauty and it's in the simplicity of a children's book, it's so impressionable. Like it's so impressionable. Like many of us have been impressed upon by some of the greatest, right? Do You Love Me, for example, is a great book that many people talk about. But in simplicity is quite impressionable. I could definitely see that for you. And you could use lots of angel wings and butterfly wings and purple, and it would be super cool. Oh my gosh. And Amy, what about yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Even though it was the most difficult thing I've done, it was so worth it. I'm already working on a journal and a workbook, and I have another book in the works. The first one was pretty much what I did. People message me all the time and say, but how did you do it? And so the second one is going to be how I went about doing it. So what I did and then how I went about doing it.
Awesome. Awesome. I love that. That expansion of, and you'll see that with authors, there's that expansion of that extended piece, right, to what they've done. And a lot of people with the workbook, you know, a lot of people with the workbook to help people get through. And Melissa, for yourself, would you do it again? And if so, what's going on there?
Yes, I would. I'm actually working on a cookbook right now.
Now, is it healthy eating? Dr. Melissa Balazan, what kind of, is it a brownies? Is it gluten-free? What is it?
So yes, Dr. Melissa Balazan loves her brownies. So there'll be a lot of healthy, and then there's going to be some things that I grew up with, you know, those staples that it's okay to have a little bit, just not a lot of bit of some of those things.
Oh, I love that. You can have a little bit, just not a lot of it. I love that. I absolutely love that. Look, in terms of wrapping up, I would love for you to share. I'm all about magical moments. I think you all know that, and so does my audience. And I would love the audience to go away fueled. And you have given such beautiful insight. So as we kind of go around and we're coming to the close, I have a question for you outside of the author question that, you know, so don't go away. Don't go away. Our audience knows exactly what we're going to do. But I'd love to ask you tell people where they can get your book. But can you share a magical moment that happened, either a personal magical moment where when because of this book, this happened, or someone read your book and shared this, like something that made you feel like it was worth it? It can be private, it can be external, it can be what have you. And then share where they can go get the book. Okay, Nadine?
There have been many magical moments since I took the step to become a published author and publish this book. So first was the launch, because when I had this launch, I wasn't expecting anyone to turn up. And then a lot of my friends came, and even people who were just interested in books, and they all came out and supported me. So it was a very beautiful launch. And since then, I've met so many people. That's how I met you and became part of this project, because I started writing and did some other collaborations. So it brought me to this moment. And just the other day, my book won a silver award in the Global Book Award. So yeah, so there have been many magical moments since I wrote this book.
Oh my goodness. And where can we purchase your book, my friend?
You can find it on Amazon. It's in e-form, it's in paperback, and you can also have the Kindle format. So it's on Amazon. Mm-hmm. You can just look for Encounters by Nadine K. Thompson.
Perfect. And everyone, we are going to have that in the show notes. So if you're driving, don't worry. We will have it there as we always do. All right. And Lisa, over to you.
One of my intentions was to reach out to that mom who's alone at 2 a.m., screaming silently, hoping anyone would hear her. And this book did reach this. I had one mom before read one of my revisions to get some feedback. And she told me that it did happen to her in the middle of one night when she felt like there was no one for her to talk to. And that land home for me that, wow, this book can do that for someone else. And if there's anyone out there ever feeling alone, there's always a good book to curl up to. You're never alone.
Awesome. And hun, where can they find your book?
Just go to my website there. I have it on my www.drlisatan.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And Amy, what about yourself?
Yeah, just like Nadine, there are so many. My book is being picked up by libraries and bookstores now. And I wrote it to share hope and help other people learn to overcome adversity. And I think the most magical moment for me is, so far, two people specifically who have reached out to me said that my book saved their lives, that they were on the verge of suicide. And they read my book and realized that I made a different choice. Amy made a different choice. Maybe I can make a different choice too. So to know that my book and my story has at least saved two people's lives, it gives me chills. It just was so worth it. Everything I went through was so worth it to be able to share it in that way.
Wow, that's very powerful. Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And Melissa?
It's brought a lot of people out of the woodworks. They've come in there and brought family members back to me, brought clients to me. So I think just being able to be more seen has brought people from people I hadn't heard of for a long time.
Wow. It's so beautiful, right? It's interesting because we know it conceptually. And for those of you out there that are contemplating, or you've written a book and you're going to write another one. Did you notice I said you're going to write another one? So didn't ask you. But it is really interesting when you start to realize, because we hear it all the time, if it just saves one person's life, I do it for just one person, right? But in actuality, it is. In actuality, it is. Like, it changes one person, which changes many. Because we know that when something happens to one person, it's a domino effect through family, you know, friends and community. And it really is quite interesting how powerful that moment is when you know that something that you've produced, something that you've braved up, something that you've put money into, time into, resources into, you know, said no to other things to complete, really does have an impact in a global way. I mean, whether your book is a community book or not, it has a global reach. So I think that's fantastic. And Melissa, where can they purchase your book?
Off my website.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, we're going to have that in the show notes. Look, I get to hang out with beautiful women like yourselves and also, you know, all sorts of different authors. We know we have the 262 book. And look, I just want to do a shout out there. If anyone has a story to tell, we still have pages where you can come and put your story on our book. And we would love to have you and help support you in at least that first step of anthology. It's funny. Some people write their solo book and then go into anthologies. They're like, ooh, not doing that again. No, I mean like that. And then some people do anthologies and they go that different way. But if you have a story to tell, we have pages for you to write upon. And I always say, like, you know, books are like good friends. They come around when you need them, right? And so when that book falls out in front of you, or when someone buys you one for Christmas and you're like, well, that's kind of interesting. You kind of read my mind, or those kind of things. Like, books do find you. Books find you at the right time. Like Lisa, your friend who you're just looking to some advice, can you read this and give me your feedback? And she's like, you know, oh my gosh, it just made me feel so much better. So that being said, I have a completely different question for you. So let's just shake this party up a little bit. And there you go. So all of you on your own island, all of you are packing your suitcase and you have room in that suitcase for one album. Yeah, I'm talking about an album. They're all back. It's all back now. Everyone's listening to LPs. So that one album, and you're on your way to your desert island. What album are you going to be putting in that suitcase that you would absolutely want to listen to for the rest of your days? Let's start with you, Amy. What album are you packing?
I'm taking Jim Croce.
Oh, yep. Time in a Bottle.
Yep. I'm taking Jim.
You're taking Jim. Your husband's listening to you. Who are you taking where? Oh my goodness. Now, Melissa, it sounds like you guys do some really cool road trips. I'm sure you listen to some great music. Who are you putting in your suitcase?
I think this time around I'm putting George Strait.
Oh, I saw George Strait with Chris Stapleton. And that was, he's quite the guy. He's quite the guy. He owns it. He earns it. Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And Nadine, who would you like to be listening to on your private beach?
I put the Legend album by Bob Marley, some of his greatest hits.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. See, she's got it covered. She's doing greatest hits. She's going, oh, my gosh, that's amazing. That's amazing. And what about you, Lisa? Who are you listening to?
Dancing Queen, ABBA.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. We if anyone saw the last summit that we did in Ireland, at the end we broke out into song and we thought we all knew this ABBA song, and after the first couple of lines we were all like, well, that didn't go very well. but at least we tried. Oh my goodness. Ladies, thank you so much for sharing, and thanks for taking the time, and thanks for being you know, revealing into what it takes. And hopefully we've inspired some more people out there to write their book, brave up. And at the very least, I think books are one of the most incredible gifts that you give, because like I said in the beginning, when you receive a book, you don't get rid of it. Now, nothing against magazines. There's some magazines that I still have, but by nature, books have a different energy and they have a different level of play. And so we pass books on. So I would encourage you, any of you out there that have read the books that are sitting in your house, and you have no room in your bookcase, that you take the ones that you're not reading and go bless other people. And then go and refill your bookcase, because you're at a new place now, freshen up. Check out these ladies' books, bring them into your world, and then pass them on. You know, pass on the goodness that these books do, because there's just so much there. And the beautiful thing that I love about a book is that, like, you know, and Nadine, I'm sure this must happen for you so much more so with poetry, is that when I read the story, I get something different out of all of your stories than when someone else reads that story. So it's the same story, but we all pull from it different things or remember different things, right? So anyways, I want to thank you so much for sharing, and please support. We're so grateful, and thank you for sharing your music of choice. And as always, you incredible Mission Accepted audience, please share this podcast with everyone that you know. We want to see you on the next summit. The next summit is coming up just a few months. So if you have something that you want to say instead of put into a book, We want to see you on the stage. And look at, go to devdroman.com, because probably by the time you're listening to this, we will have our whole schedule up there of where we're going to go. And you're going to be able to follow us. For those of you that know who Santa is, I'm saying that we're doing a Santa thing on the website, where you're going to be able to see us go from country to country to country, literally. And you can come and hang out with us live. You can see the authors live. You can sign their book live. You can get your own book. And of course, we're all over Amazon, and we just made an announcement that we too will be in box stores and independent bookstores, hopefully by the time you watch this podcast. So congratulations for all of you for doing what you do. Thank you so much. Thank you, audience. And until next week, you know the deal. You be Will, and you stay groovy.